Thanks so much for joining us on Super Bracket Bros. My name is Jay, your host and your personal bracketologist. And as always, sitting across from me is my co-host and your real life in my apartment, Elias Stokes. How are you doing today, Eli?
I'm doing well, Jay. I'm curious. Tell me, why did you put so much emphasis on sitting across from me and also say that I'm in your apartment right now?
Well, because you are.
What?
I know. This is a great shock to... I don't know why it's a great shock to you, but must come as a great shock to our listeners. We are recording in person for the first time in years.
Yeah. We were thinking about this probably since like mid-2020.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like when COVID came around. Well, we were recording in person when we started the podcast, and then like into 2020, into COVID, and like we were in our bubble, both like working from home, not in contact with each other. So like that was the only like contact we had for a little while, was like getting to record in person. So we did that for a little while, and then started having guests on and moved to doing it remotely, which we've been doing for couple years now. But today, I've been feeling slightly inspired by my recent PodFest experience, getting to record in person with Phil and Eric and Andrew from the Wait For It podcast and from Your Friendly Neighborhood Gamers. So I rented some recording equipment from our local library and just wanted to give it a try and see how it felt. So yeah, me and Eli are here in person today.
Get the real life experience. Except for you guys, you're still listening.
Yeah, you're
to
still
it.
Listening after. Not live.
Honestly, it's probably going to be mostly the same for you guys.
But I'll be curious to see, you know, what folks think of this episode. So, we're in person today. No guests today. And that's kind of the other reason is, we wanted to do this in person just to do something special for today's episode since we didn't have a guest. And so, kind of another way to put a spin on it. But I guess. This is the thing, is I feel like we might go on more tangents today.
Yeah, I feel like that too. I also have to look at you. I'm just gonna talk like this, staring at the
just
wall.
Just staring out into the distance. Yeah, I mean, for the first couple minutes, I was just staring at the floor. So we'll see how this goes. This is Super Bracket Bros. This is the podcast where we take 32 fictional characters, put them in a tournament against each other to see just who is the best of the best. And we are in the Epic 8. We are finishing it out today, actually.
The final episode before the championships?
That's correct. Yeah, we have the final four immediately following this. So we're going to find out who the final contestant in that final four is going to be today.
Oh!
We are talking Bloodsport versus James Bond, a 1-2 seed. I'm curious to see how things shake out today.
It has been quite a journey. This has been a very long season.
We're not done yet.
But we're almost there, Jay.
Yeah, we are. We are indeed almost there. We'll recording in person today. I think we're going to have some fun. We got an interesting matchup to talk about. Everything's pretty much going to stay the same. It is also, just for your awareness, like, it's just going to be me and Eli from here on out. Me and Eli, we're going to do the final four. You know, we will have our special Super Bracket Bros Stadium for our location for our next four episodes. Third place episode, of course, taking place at the toilet store.
Yeah, everyone's favorite bit.
It's per tradition, yeah. Unconfirmed if that's anybody's favorite bit. So, we're going to try to do the same thing that we did at the end of season 3. Bring in pretty much any and every voice that we can gather for our finale to get every opinion we can to make sure that we get the right final winner. So how this episode's going to break down is we have some Instagram poll results to go over. We're going to be talking about these characters getting ready for the fight. And then the back half of the episode, as usual, is going to be who would win between James Bond and Bloodsport. But first, I mentioned those Instagram poll results. Every other Sunday when we post our episodes, we're also posting a companion poll on Instagram. So if you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us so you can vote and be heard on every single episode. So our first matchup that we want to talk about, we have James Bond versus Mai Zenin. James Bond coming away with 71% of the votes to Mai's 29%.
Yeah, I feel like James Bond is such a weight. He's one of the most iconic characters, really. Mm-hmm. Mai Zennin is a supporting character at best.
Yeah. I mean, granted, one of the most, if not the most popular anime right now.
Yeah, right now. It's crazy.
But still.
Yeah. Not even a supporting character throughout the series in a very specific isolated arc.
Yeah. Which, like, we very much appreciate her role in that and the character herself. But yeah, no. And I think this is like kind of aligns where we were at in our episode two, because like, I think Maze is super powerful. Like, she comes from a very powerful universe, but you know, she is outskilled in a lot of different areas.
Yeah. So yeah. And also James Bond is just so versatile, and Daniel Craig. He's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So.
He's pretty cool. And then on the other side of the field today, we have Juzo versus Bloodsport. Bloodsport coming away with 64% of the votes to Juzo's 36%.
I'm kind of surprised by that because, I mean, Juzo is a walking tank with a gun for a head, which mm-hmm. I don't think No Gun's Life was incredibly, you know, world-breaking, but I thought it was popular enough to have some Juzo fans out there.
I think potentially, but I think still, like, as much as, like, we're in tune with anime, like, we don't necessarily represent the average, like, American consumer, which I imagine, like, most of our listeners are American. And so I think that's potentially where that comes from. But, yeah, I think, honestly, like, I'm pretty sure the Jason Bourne versus Juzo one was closer than this. And so I think probably we did a lot of like heavy punching in favor of Juzo and making sure that he got the respect that he deserves. So yeah, there is that. But yeah, no, I thought that was interesting. But yeah, obviously audience agreed.
Pretty contested.
A pretty contested episode, which was a lot of fun. And if you haven't listened to it, I mean, even if you don't particularly care about the characters, it's still a very good time that we had with the Wait For It podcast. So yeah. I'd highly recommend it. So let's talk about our characters getting ready for the fight. So let's hop in with James Bond first. He is going to be leaving Walmart. Of course, I couldn't forget that one. And entering our antechamber, where he's going to be once again greeted by our gnomes and dwarves for a second time, where he's going to get reloaded, reset, you know, all the, you know, suit pressed, you know, everything's going to be tip-top.
Martini.
Yes, exactly, of course. Everything prepared very precisely for our contestant today.
Is there someone with a Knives Out DVD?
That wants him to sign it.
Yeah, it's just like wrong movie, but... Or for a second, he slips into Benoit Blanc.
Yeah. I mean, he had some Benoit Blanc in that last James Bond movie. So, like, it wouldn't surprise me. That's not out of character. So James Bond is going to be handed our branded Super Bracket Bros pad, where he's going to be reviewing all of Bloodsport's fights so far. So he's going to get the opportunity to view everything that he's been through so far, reviewing all of those fights to see what he can make of Bloodsport before he enters into today's fight. So to remind everybody, he's going to be reviewing Bloodsport versus Jin and Bloodsport versus Juzo. So what does James Bond think of his opponent today?
Probably wondering if he can get Q to build him that fancy gun apparatus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. yeah, I mean, Bloodsport's got James Bond supervillain vibes.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
But, like, it's almost like a merging of, like, the old campy Bond villain with the new, like, serious Bond. You know what I mean?
Because,
like, the technology is so out there. It feels right at home in, like, a campy 60s aesthetic, but actually, like, Bloodsport, you know, is serious-ish.
Yeah, Bloodsport is serious-ish. Like, you know, like, he's the quote-unquote straight man in the Suicide Squad movie, right? You know, or, like, tries to be, but very much gets caught up in a lot of the, you know, bullshit. Yeah. So, yeah, but yeah, I think he's going to look at Bloodsport. I think, you know, he's going to take a keen eye to his weapon, of course. I think, you know, he's going to look at how it interacts with the armor as well. You know, I mean, James Bond isn't like, I mean, he knows tech, like, he like his universe is, you know, I would say a higher tech than the average universe, but it's not quite full DC, you know, shenanigans. Yeah. But I don't think he's going to be too surprised, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think one big boon for Bond, well, I think I think he benefits a lot from how hard Bloodsport's last fight was against Juzo, because I think we were talking about this. He kind of used all, like,
He would have had to.
He used everything at his disposal. So Bond gets a firsthand view of, like, all of Bloodsport's abilities. Obviously, Bond doesn't know that, but I think he can, like, understand. I think he has a plan now for, like, combat strategies for each of those various weapons, because it is so versatile. But someone with Bond, who is almost like the benchmark for versatile spy action, I think this is very beneficial for him.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And, you know, he's used to working off of very little intel, right? You know, we talk about James Bond, we talk about, you know, smarter characters in this bracket. I think James Bond falls into that category based off of, like, what we see him do with little information as far as, like, planning operations goes as well, you know, being from a spy universe, right? But, you know, he doesn't necessarily have the shortcomings of not, he also has, you know, a lot of streetwise, you know, like, he still has that ability as well. So, yeah, I think he's gonna take quite a bit away. Like, I think he's gonna have a pretty good understanding. What he'll do with that information, we'll see.
That's always the tough part about, like, we're essentially role-playing the characters and, like, oh, yeah, this is the greatest spy on Earth. Now we have to figure out what the greatest spy on Earth would do.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah. And I think that's where, like, if we were writing this movie, we'd write this movie so that, like, he would eventually come out on top because he's the hero. He's always the hero, right? Mm-hmm. He might have to do something nefarious, something that he doesn't want to do, to be able to take Bloodsport down, probably. You know, that's sort of like the James Bond characters, you know, he has to make great sacrifices to be the greatest spy, right? But in this one-off scenario, in this random location, does that still come through, right? And that's what we got to figure out. So let's hop over to the other side. Let's check in with Bloodsport. So Bloodsport is going to be leaving the Castle of Winterfell, escaping any rat infestations that might be wreaking havoc on the Stark home, and be joining our gnomes and dwarves in the antechamber once again, where he will also, you know, get all the... I mean, he's probably a little worse for wear.
Yeah, he's probably got some scrapes and bruises.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, the closest matchup that we've ever discussed, and, you know, if that relates to how the matchup actually went, you know, as we usually imagine it, then, like, he's got a lot of healing to do. Like, we're throwing this guy in the back to tank, like, you know, like, we're doing the full, you know, the full treatment for him, I'm sure, to be able to get him back in tip-top shape. But, you know, our gnomes and dwarves, our gnomes run up to him with a Super Bracket Bros pad, and in the pad where he's going to be viewing the fight between James Bond and Faith. James Bond and Mai. What does Bloodsport think of James Bond?
I really don't think he's impressed.
No, right? You know, like,
I think he's thinking of, like, the hell that he just went through, and James Bond has fought.
James Bond's a dude.
Yeah, like, a dude who just fought two women.
Right, yeah.
At most, the biggest armament the two opponents had was a revolver.
Yeah.
He had to fight a walking tank.
Exactly. With a gun for a head. So I guess if he doesn't take James Bond very seriously, is that a disadvantage in your mind?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because from, you know, obviously the Suicide Squad are, like, the anti-heroes, right?
Right.
I think if this was, like, a Justice League headliner, there would be this, like, oh, I'm going to respect my opponent. But, you know, the Bloodsport's with the down and dirty. He's just like, who's this guy? Like,
yeah, why is he in this
why
same
do I
tournament
have to fight this guy?
With me and the guy with a gun for a head?
You know? I really don't think that... I can see Bloodsport underestimating him.
Yeah.
Because...
I buy that.
He just went through hell and defeated this cybernetic, you know, tank gunhead guy.
Yeah.
But he also has all his armaments. Like, he still has his guns... like, that cocky attitude of the Suicide Squad and swagger, obviously, like you said, he is the straight man,
right? Yeah,
but still, I think
he is the leader, like, and I think, you know, he is the planner too, but, Yeah, no, I think you're spot on here.
The fact that the Suicide Squad
thank you
is meant to be a subversive piece of superhero media, I think he's gonna act in the most like anti-Batman way, and
right?
Just be like. Like, watches the tape and just goes, throws the pad and just like, give me a drink or something.
Right,
I got this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, he's going to be like, you know, taking me out on vacation. Like, yeah, like, you know, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, that's a good point. And I mean, even when we talked about Juuzo, right? You know, it was like, how seriously does he take Juuzo? Because Juuzo's like straight out of the DC villain universe too, right? You know, like, I mean, you got... what is it, King Shark, or you know, yeah, that's on the Suicide Squad, like Juuzo's same exact vibes. Mm-hmm. So I think you're spot on there, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, how quickly does that change in the fight? Does it change in the fight? You know, I think we'll have to see. So now that we've talked about our characters getting ready, you ready for a fight?
Let's do it.
So how it works here on Super Bracket Bros is this is a fight to incapacitation, whether it be death trapping unconsciousness or forceful battlefield removal. It's also important to note that we take these characters as they are. That's why we had the discussion about our characters getting ready for the fight. But we also take into account morals, ethics, and things like that. But we are going to make them fight no matter what. It's also important to note that they know they're in a tournament. They know they are getting into a fight. They're going to get dropped at a tertiary location. That location is going to be decided by our random location generator. And we've had 100 locations all season long. So let's roll the dice one final time this season and see where we are headed today. So you might be wondering, Eli, why I didn't put this location in the document.
Yeah, I was wondering that.
It's because I know you know this location very well.
I do?
You do.
Is it your apartment?
It's not my apartment, no.
Is it my apartment?
No, it's also not your apartment, no. We are remaining in the world of fiction. We are headed to the DC universe.
Huh?
We are headed to Teen Titans HQ.
Oh, the greatest piece of architecture in kids' animated show history.
One of the most iconic.
Yeah, my favorite letter my building form.
My favorite building shaped like a letter. Oh, that's right. We are headed to Teen Titans HQ as seen in Teen Titans. This is
Teen Titans Go.
And also Teen Titans Go.
Put some respect on the follow-up.
Sorry, you're right. Thank you. If you're not aware, the building's a giant T.
they weren't subtle at all, were they?
No, they weren't, no. Which, I mean, like, it's cool. Like, there was nothing about it and nothing about it now when I watch the show that's like, that's dumb or cheesy.
Well,
but
the place is a pad.
Like, yes.
Their headquarters is a huge couch.
Exactly. It's got a huge couch, huge TV screen, video games. Like,
yeah, it's a pad.
Tech out the wazoo, like, food. Like,
but it's way too big for five people.
It's way too big for five people. It is not economical or sustainable at all. Additionally, is it San Francisco proper or is it San Francisco adjacent? Like,
it's
Jump City. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so it's basically.
Yeah, but it's basically San Francisco, yeah. Right?
Which during a housing crisis, come on, Teen Titans.
Come on, Teen Titans.
You're going to have all that space
please
for five
people. I know, yeah. yeah, it's like on a like Statue of Liberty type island, you know, out away from the main populace, which like is super inefficient for like fighting crime at a moment's notice as well. Like, I'm like now picking apart the Teen Titans HQ. But yeah, so I think, yeah, I think, you know, like the lobby proper, like the living room proper is a good place to start this 100%. Fight. Right. But yeah, so like we'll kind of. Yeah, we'll talk through the location more like as we go, but I like to imagine like there's a whole like open concept like kitchen, living room, like it's a huge space that we're starting in. It's like at the like crux of the T, right? I think
it's the crux of the T.
Where the bottom part of the T and the top part of the T cross. And now we're in person, so you can see me making a T with my hands. it's this part.
Oh yes, thank you for the visual.
Yeah, okay, good.
Do you hear that? Do you hear me making a T, audience?
And so But
okay, can I have the fight start off with James Bond walking in and just Bloodsport is playing video games? Like, he's just eating pizza. He's in full slacker mode.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah,
playing God of War
on
the TV.
Well, while James Bond has been like studying the film for like days, like Bloodsport like left early to go to the location.
He's totally trashed.
Yeah, exactly. The whole place is trash. Like he's hanging out with the Teen Titans. Like
Beast Boy turns into a rat.
Yeah. But yeah, sorry, and now I'm imagining like a whole side story where Bloodsport goes on a mission with the Teen Titans but starts murdering people.
No, see, like, that's the thing. The plot would be Bloodsport, but it's a really bad influence.
Yes,
100%. Like Beast Boy and Cyber are like, this guy's so cool, let's follow him, and then he starts doing some like
right, yeah, exactly. And then like, well, see, here's what it is is Bloodsport like shows up and is like, I'm a superhero, I'm here to help. And then like Robin like does some research on him and finds like some dirt, like, and like goes to like rest of the Teen Titans, like, this guy shot Superman. Like, we can't trust him. Like, we're like, guys. But, and then Beast Boy's, but he's so cool.
He just, Bloodsport walks in, hello, fellow DC characters. As he cocks his gun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, gun over his shoulder instead of the skateboard. Yeah. So out walks, Bloodsport and James Bond, you know, eyeing each other up from across the living room, staring each other down. How does this fight break off?
I feel like it's every fight. One person shoots first, the other bugs out.
Yes, and same is true.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
But I think, you know, previous ones, the first shot is always like, you know, kind of a strategy, right?
Right.
Where characters approach, you know, the fight and like, I got to be the aggressor. Mm-hmm. I don't think Bloodsport cares.
No.
I think he just pulls out and just starts shooting.
Well, I mean, everything he's seen so far, you know, and everything he's seen of James Bond, he knows he has him out-armed. He knows he probably, you know, like, he's one of the heaviest hitters in this tournament at this point. You know, he probably is aware of that. He gets his guns out and he starts firing. You know, like, he knows he has him outgunned. You know, for every shot that James Bond might get off with his normal everyday pistol, you know, like, Bloodsport is getting two shots off with like his dual wielding pistols.
Yeah. Like, we can almost see him with that slingshot, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's something like that, too. He dives forward, you know, like, to the couch to, like, take cover behind it, you know, knowing that that plus his armor is, like, good cover against a regular pistol, whereas James Bond is not going forward. Like, you know, like, he like, is going back out, like, you know, into, like, the dormitory area of the Teen Titans HQ.
And this, I think, almost plays into James Bond advantages because the Titan complex is so huge and there's just so many things to mess with that where I don't think Bloodsport, I think he has tunnel vision in this fight. I think I want to get this done. Let's just go home. I need to play God of War Ragnarok. So I think he's just like not really planning, whereas James Bond, I think, is calculating his surroundings because there's so many things in the Titan's Tower that James Bond can use. Traps, utensils, you know, like, just raiding Robin's wardrobe.
Well,
stuff.
See, that's the thing is, like, I think if he by chance ends up in the right spot, he could find a lot of cool stuff in this tower. Whereas, like, Bloodsport, I don't think he's going to care about any of it. I think what he has probably is on par with or outclasses most of the gear that he's going to find in the Teen Titans HQ. Yeah. Whereas James Bond can probably take advantage of, and we know that, like, he is good with improvised weapons as well. You know, like, we gave him that, you know, in the Walmart, so he gets it in Teen Titans HQ too.
Well, okay, 100%. He finds Cyborg's car.
Well, see, this is what I was leading to. Yeah. As eventually he makes his way to the garage, right?
And it's what's the James Bond car? Like, what kind is it?
PT Cruiser?
Aston Martin. PT Cruiser.
Could you imagine?
No, what I imagine is that he goes down the
That's
sidewalk.
The Walmart version of James Bond.
The Walmart
Bond.
James Bond.
Drives a PT Cruiser.
Yeah, PT Cruiser. No, what I imagine is he goes down to Cyborg's garage. He sees the, if you remember from the show, the Cyborg's car is this kind of bulky, it's like a muscle car. And, you know, James Bond looks at it And he's like, I don't know. And he looks over, and there's a cyborg version of the Aston Martin, like the original, like classic,
classic cyborg car.
And
yeah.
He's like, that's more my
speed. There we go. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, yeah. I think I would love for him to make it to the garage at some point. Wait, does the T car fly? It has to, right?
I think it did at some point.
How does it get off the island?
There's like tunnels. I don't know. It's this kid's
show. Is there? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You don't know.
No, I don't. I think it's safe to assume.
Yeah.
There's just some way because you wanted to. I know that look in your eyes. See, well, this is why we're recording in person. I can see.
So you can see that I wanted to fly, right? Yeah.
I want to see you doing a car chase through Jump City.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I that's a.
Wait, so we're gonna give James Bond the Aston Martin, then Bloodsport gets the muscle car.
Gets the muscle car. Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, you know, I just love the idea of James Bond, you know, finding a way to get to the T car somehow, some way, you know, and like flying it around and like like hover jet style, like floating around the T tower, like shooting at Bloodsport through windows.
See, and Bloodsport, cool.
Yeah, and Bloodsport, like, you know, like Call of Duty style, like, you know, like story mission style, like jumping between cover and like popping up at the right time and like firing back.
I think we're both in agreement though that I think Bloodsport gets caught off guard.
You think so?
I think he does, because okay. With all of the ordnance in Titan's Tower, I can totally see James Bond getting those, you know, either the Robin boomerangs or the cyborg like sonic boom. I forget what they're called.
But... Yeah, but they're like little sticky things that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yep. I imagine Bloodsport is like, come out wherever you are. And James Bond surprises him with an explosion. He's like, oh. So I totally see it. And also just James Bond as a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I can totally see him getting the upper hand on Bloodsport, especially with Bloodsport. We're going with him being super confident.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of the location, I think at some point James Bond gets the upper hand to get Bloodsport like, okay, I have to be serious now.
Right, yeah. But so here's the thing is, if we're going to talk about all the cool stuff that's in Teen Titans HQ, he's also just as likely to end up in Raven's room with a bunch of like spell books, right? That he can do nothing with.
Yeah.
You know, or Beast Boy's room where it's just energy drinks. You know, like.
No, it's not energy drinks. It's vegan. It's tofu.
Sorry. Thank you. Yeah.
What Silky is running around.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You know, like, you know, I think, yeah. So, like, as much cool things as he can find, it's.
I mean, it's circumstantial.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, is he going to have time to search, you know, before Bloodsport blows up the wall, you know, like to get to where he is, you know, that kind of thing. So
I do think, because this is the tough thing, is that I think James Bond gets the jump. Either he's hiding in the raft, like the rafters or something.
Yeah, I think so too. What he brings to that, you know, like ambush, we're not sure, but yeah,
for sure I think he ambushes them.
Yes, I think so too,
from parts of just James Bond's ability, but also Bloodsport's overconfidence. And then the question becomes, like, close range, who has the upper hand? Mm-hmm. Obviously, Bloodsport has his katana sword thing.
Right.
But I almost want to say James Bond, being the super spy, probably has better, more formal training.
Oh, yeah, I would assume so. He has more formal training, yeah. Whether or not, like, I'm trying to think if there are examples of Bloodsport really fighting melee.
I can only think of a sword.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know he has the sword, but, you know, I feel like it's... The movie's very spectacular, right?
Yeah.
You know, you know, we don't have the same evidence of, like, a James Bond movie or a John Wick movie of, like, all of this martial arts, right? You know, but it's hard to imagine that he's not extremely scrappy. And not to mention, like, the dude's more well-armored than James Bond is.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You know, so, like, Even if, like, James Bond, like, lands more hits, like, a hit from Bloodsport, I think, you know, like, if we're talking hand-to-hand, is going to do more damage or is going to be more impactful in this fight.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's almost like, yeah, James Bond's probably better at close quarters, but it's kind of the tech just supersedes that.
I think so. I think the tech and the fact that, like, he has, like, an actual melee weapon, whereas, you know, James Bond is coming in with, like,
a pistol.
He has a pistol, but whatever he can find, you know. I'm trying to think, it's what are Robin's Are they just batarangs?
I mean, basically.
Yeah, you know, like his version of a batarang. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and James Bond goes off on the same like spiritual journey that Robin does and comes back for the fight. Yeah, I have a hard time seeing. I totally buy that he can sneak up on him, but I guess I don't know if he's going to be able to actually do anything with that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he's a spy, and, you know, sneaking around is his forte. Bloodsport doesn't have his helmet on.
Right.
Do you think he... or
I mean, he can put the helmet on.
He can put it on, but do you think he has it on? Because I could totally see Bond sneaking up and doing, like, a... you know, in one of his hypothetical wins, doing the, like, neck snap or
right,
something.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
You know, he has his gun just shooting Bloodsport.
Right, yeah, just getting into the, like, crease of the armor or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, or shooting the collar.
Right,
blows
yeah.
up Bloodsport's head. But
yeah, I don't... I have not imagined Bloodsport with the collar that blows up his head for reference.
we're not Amanda Waller.
No, we're not Amanda Waller. If he tries to escape the tournament, we're not blowing him up.
could you imagine a fight ended like that?
Jesus.
It's just like, yeah, Bloodsport's going to make a break for it. He blows up. All right.
James Bond wins.
Yeah.
How off would that be?
That would be so lame. But no, so I think you're right. In close quarters, James Bond has the skill advantage, but the tech probably overpowers him. I still think, you know, when we're talking about this hypothetical 10 wins, mm-hmm. I think James Bond gets a few in the sneaks.
Yeah, I could give him the sneaks. Yeah, I could give him a few. And it'd be different if, like, I thought that he started with any of the equipment in Teen Titans HQ. I'd give him a few more, even. You know, I'd say that initial counter becomes increasingly more important the more impressive tech that he potentially gets while he's scavenging. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if I give him a lot of time to scavenge. You know, mm-hmm. I think Bloodsport's going to be on him, and I think he's going to stay on him for as long as he can.
Right.
And I think that he's totally capable, just like he leveled Winterfell. I think he's totally capable of leveling the Teen Titans HQ.
Right.
You know, it doesn't seem like a very well structured tower or very secure.
Well, considering how many times it gets invaded.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, in his fight against Juzo, a lot of the damage was caused by Juzo breaking.
True, yeah. That was both of them combined. Yeah, true.
So I don't think it's the same level as destruction.
Yeah.
I can see... I can imagine a scene where Bloodsport is using that, like, you know, super gun and is just blowing it indoors with a banner, just like, get out of here!
Yeah.
And then accidentally toppling, like, the
something
on
yeah.
himself.
Yeah. And see, the thing remains that even if we want to talk about melee combat, you know, like, weapon-wise, you know, Bloodsport outclasses him significantly. You know, like, Bloodsport can probably take several, like, if it's not directly lethal, like, if it's not, like, a headshot without the helmet, if it's not, like, a shot to, like in the crease of an armor, like, Bloodsport's going to survive a lot of shots, whereas James Bond is not going to survive a single shot. You know, like, I give him pain tolerance against a normal gun, like, in a normal bullet wound, but these are neither of those things.
Does Bloodsport have any, like, ordnance, like grenades or flashbangs or anything?
No.
Did we give James Bond?
I feel like we had to give him some gear.
Yeah, because if we just gave him a pistol,
right?
Seems
yeah,
scuffed.
Yeah, like,
good
you know,
luck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, like, but yeah, no, it's James Bond. So we gave him, you know, his tactical gear.
Yeah.
You know what? You know.
No, yeah, James Bond. If he has any chance in this fight, has got to be super scrappy. Playing it dirty, almost to what, like, Bloodsport's level, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I could totally see.
Which, like, he can go that low.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the scene of, like, he's up close and Bloodsport is like, "What you got, big man?" And James Bond just kicks him in the crotch. Like, the one place he doesn't have plating.
Mm-hmm. Even if we talk about James Bond and, you know, he's got, like, the wire and, you know, we give him, like, a, you know, a small flashbang or, you know, whatever various gizmos and gadgets, you know, I just feel like they're all kind of annoyances to Bloodsport, you know.
Yeah.
I guess I just don't see it having a major impact on a fight like this. You know, like, he really, I mean, like, James Bond at his best has a Q that has designed him something to deal with Bloodsport, right?
Mm.
That's the thing that I feel like could make a significant like win count difference in this fight.
Do you see James Bond able to like break parts of the suit so Bloodsport can't use certain equipment?
I could see him potentially, you know, like wearing him down, right? You know, finding ways to break apart the suit. Yeah, you know, I could definitely see that. You know, if he can't, you know, get the headshot, you know, he could still like get, you know, significant shots on like a specific part of the armor to be able to chip at it, or, you know, just like working at the gun as well, the gun itself, right? Finding a way to disable it, you know, would be a worthwhile tactic for him.
Yeah, but it's right, it's one of those, you know, the win condition for Bloodsport is so clear,
and mm-hmm.
that's James Bond's a lot more roundabout.
yeah, I think so too.
And these are the interesting questions to ask, is like, you know, do we trust, you know, James Bond to find, you know, a myriad of solutions to win this fight, or do we just trust the bread and butter of the dude with the bigger gun?
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah. So as we wind down the discussion here, how we decide the winner here on Super Bracket Bros is each of us, me and Eli, are going to give an out of 10 on who we think will win this fight. The out of 10 is just to represent our confidence level in the given fighter, and if we think they will move on in the tournament. And if we disagree, whoever, it's been a while since we've just had two of us, it comes down to just that. But if we disagree, whoever's more confident in their given fighter, that fighter is going to move on in the tournament. So Eli, do you have a decision in mind?
I do. It's tough because I love James Bond so much, but I don't think, you can probably hear it in our discussion, we were trying to really find ways that he could win.
Yeah.
So I think I trust, you know, this is the battle of like gun centric character. So ultimately I'm going to trust the guy with the bigger gun. I'm going to go Bloodsport, and I'm going to go 7 out of 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I give credit to James, but I do think he has the advantage in up close combat.
Mm-hmm.
And I give him the craftiness to come up with traps and surprise Bloodsport. But in a lot of those situations, like you said, it's just the ordnance that Bloodsport is carrying far, it just supersedes whatever James Bond has, mm-hmm. and anything he's ever faced before. Like if he had some fancy gizmo like Q, that Q gave him, like you mentioned, I think this would be a different fight. And maybe he does get a bunch of like the Teen Titans gear to like MacGyver his way to victory, but I don't think it's just as reliable as a dude with, you know, a super suit, which in and of itself is like 6 different weapons.
Right, yeah, it's like built into it. It's fucking badass. Like, yeah. You know.
And yeah. Like you said, Bloodsport had to earn his fight here, whereas James Bond has had a much, much easier path, I think. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go with Bloodsport. But I'm going to go 7 out of 10 times just because I think James Bond can somehow will his way to a few more victories.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing is, I think if this was a James Bond movie, you know, he wins, right? You know, that's what he does in the end. He's the hero, even if he has to, you know, make some sacrifices. But I think in this one-off scenario, I'm even a little stronger than you. I'm going to go Bloodsport 8 out of 10 times in this scenario. I think that, you know, there's a couple times where James Bond, I don't even want to say gets lucky. I think it's a very competent 2 out of 10, you know, for James Bond.
Yeah.
You know, I think that he very much earns those. You know, it's not even necessarily a luck. But I think that's just how overwhelming Bloodsport is.
Yeah.
You know, I think in his armaments, I think in his armor, I think, and he's very capable at using both. You know, he's very specialized, right? And I think that, yeah, he's incredibly tough. I think that he takes it here.
I think if James Bond had a few more equipment, I think that would sway me. Because I trust James Bond's intelligence and his craftiness more than Bloodsport.
Yeah.
I think Bloodsport's getting by with, you know, he has the bigger and fancier gun.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was a more level playing field, armament-wise,
right,
I think James Bond would have the advantage. But unfortunately, he doesn't have this in this scenario. You know, I'm going to change my mind and say James Bond 9 out of 10 times.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Fuck you, Jay.
Yeah, fuck you. Yeah, there's only two of us. You have no control.
Well, I go Bloodsport 10 out of 10 times.
I go James Bond 11 out of 10.
Oh, God. Oh, man. But, yeah. No, it's kind of how I expected today to go. You know, thinking about it, just like, since Bloodsport beat Juzo, and Juzo's like, I crazy powerful, in my opinion. Like, I had a really hard time with the last time we talked about Bloodsport. So I just think that, yeah, I think he knocks out James Bond here. And it's not entirely too surprising.
Yeah.
But with that, Bloodsport is going to be moving on in the tournament. We have our final four.
Our final four, not trademark.
No, absolutely not. Our final four is complete. And yeah, well, I mean, all four of them, we have Bloodsport, who just joined the ranks today. It's going to be going up against the T-800 next week.
Oh, no!
He's going to be going up the T-800, not next episode, but the one after that. And then before that, we have Black Widow, the only three seed, the only non-one seed in our final four, is going to be taking on John Wick next week.
Holy shit, those are some fun matchups.
Yeah, so we got some fun matchups ahead of us. I think, you know, Bloodsport versus T-800, we have best armor versus best gun.
Yeah.
and we have, you know, assassin versus assassin on the other side, you know, two of the best of the best. So yeah, I think we've got some good matchups ahead of us. But yeah, and as a reminder, yeah, it'll just be me and Eli going forward. You know, we'll do our final four episodes. We'll do a third place match, kind of a season review in that episode as well. But yeah, and then it comes our finale, where we'll be, you know, keep on the lookout and make sure you listen to the episodes, because we'll be talking about how you can call in and have your voice actually heard on Super Bracket Bros, and you can give your opinion on who would win in the finale.
Yeah, and perfect timing, March Madness, baby.
Oh, that's very true. Yeah, this will be happening around March Madness. So,
most wonderful time of the year.
The most,
Jay.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. speaking of brackets, I've actually, this is a small shout out. I've been running tournaments elsewhere.
You've been cheating on me?
I know. I'm sorry. This is the confession.
Do you have other assistants to the bracketologists?
We had Ryan from the List Off podcast on earlier this season. They have a Discord, and they have a dedicated Marvel Snap channel in that Discord.
What?
And so I have been running Marvel Snap tournaments there. So if you're a Marvel Snap player and you haven't joined yet, you know, we'll find you a code to the Discord, and you know, we'll have a good time. So I've been running some tournaments over there. That's been a good time. But so if you're interested in seeing more brackets by your bracketologist, we're running them over on the List Off Discord. I guess I'll jump right into my own plugs. Super Bracket Bros, I already mentioned the Instagram, but we're also on Facebook, where you can catch all the, where you can be alerted whenever there are new episodes. Also, I'm creating some new content on our Instagram. Do you like my Puss in Boots reel? Did you watch that?
No, I didn't.
You son of a bitch.
I saw your ham sandwich one.
Yes, that was good. So I'm messing around with that, trying to create some fun things. So also, you know, check out the Instagram. Beyond the polls, you know, you can check those out as well. We also have a Patreon. This show is Patreon supported, where everyone that subscribes to that is getting bonus exclusive content on a monthly basis. The first of every month, we drop new episodes. We've done a lot of really fun things. And I think if you're interested in supporting the show, that, we try our best to make it worth your financial investment, because we know that's a very serious thing to ask. But yeah, if you're not in a place to financially support the show, then I would suggest the best thing that you can do is tell a friend about the show. It's been a while since we've asked you to make a personal recommendation of Super Bracket Bros, but that really goes a long way. So if you ever have anybody in your life ask you, hey, you know, you got anything new that you're listening to, watching, you know, any media sort of consumption, recommend Super Bracket Bros. Me and Eli here would really, really appreciate it. Last but not least, I want to shout out all of our current patrons. We have Andrew, Emily and Kate, Eric and Phil, Kyle and Matt. You are all very much my heroes for supporting the show, and I genuinely and always will very much appreciate it. But with all that being said, Eli, do you have anything else for the people?
Well, sitting across from you, Jay, I do not.
you were too distracted by looking at me to come up with a bit.
I was so captivated.
thank you so much for having joined us on the show today. Very special live show. I really appreciate you taking the time. On behalf of Eli, my co-host, and myself, remember, no true hero is a one-trick pony.